On this episode of Main Street Magic,
we interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
With all the exciting news that broke yesterday with the announcement of Avengers Campus opening on June 4th, I wanted to get more info direct from some incredible sources. Kirsten Acuna is a correspondent on Insider's entertainment team covering TV, movies, and theme parks. She is Insider's resident expert on all things The Walking Dead. When she's not covering The Walking Dead universe, Kirsten covers superheroes and all things Disney, Marvel, Pixar, and live-action remakes. She's a verified film critic on Rotten Tomatoes. In March of 2020, right before the shutdown of Disneyland's parks, Kirsten had the unique opportunity to visit Avengers Campus during a media event. She's an incredible follow on Twitter at Kirsten Acuna. That is KirstenAcuna. It was my privilege to sit down and chat with her about her experience. Well, Kirsten, thank you so much for coming on Main Street Magic. I truly appreciate your time. And I want to hear about this, amazing experience that you got to have last year when you were able to, actually attend and see Avengers Campus out in California. And I just kind of want to hear your experience and some thoughts on everything that you were able to experience when you're out there.
Yeah, you know, first, thanks for having me, Jeremy. I feel like I haven't really spoken to too many people about being able to walk through Avengers Campus while they were very much still working on it. Like, I'm talking about rebar on the ground.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like they did not have a whole lot set up. They were very much still in the building stages of the entire place. But basically, this was one of the last things that I had done before the lockdown in California. Yeah. I was actually a little this was March 6th, 2020, to give you a timeline. And I think I did one other thing right after this, but I was a little anxious and I wasn't sure if I should be going to Disneyland on March 6th, because at the time we didn't know that they were going to close the park the next Friday.
Yeah.
And I remember just emailing the park rep, and I was just like, hey, we're hearing some things. Like, I'm just asking for myself. I'm not asking to write anything, but like, are you guys taking any precautions? Like, should I be aware of anything? Like, is it safe to be going to the park?
Yeah.
And I felt like, one, I wasn't really getting much of a response because they probably were like, well, what is she going to write? And I was like, I'm literally just asking for my own safety.
Yeah, for sure.
Because even like my place of work, Insider, they were telling me, Kirsten, maybe don't come back into the office after you go to Disneyland. And I was like, okay. They're like, you know, maybe just like work from home for 2 weeks.
Wow.
So, and that was when I was starting to think like, okay, this is kind of real.
Yep.
But I drove out to Anaheim very early the morning of Friday, March 6th, parked in the Stitch cast member parking lot, met with the Disney PR people inside the Disneyland Hotel. I thought it was going to be like a pretty short event and wound up being like a 6 hour thing that we were doing. They really didn't tell us a whole lot of like what we were going to be. Like, we had, you know, a little itinerary, and it was just like, yeah, you know, you'll hear a presentation on Avengers Campus. You'll try out some food, and then you'll get to do a hard hat, like walk across the grounds thing. So we had to wear boots. We had to like wear certain clothes that day.
Yeah.
Didn't get to take any photos. You know, they did the whole like they took our phones from us, put them in plastic baggies sort of deal. But for the first few hours that I was there, we walked into Disney California Adventure, and we walked through like, I don't know how familiar you are with how they've had Disney California Adventure like open to the public right now.
Yes. We have friends out there that have kind of been our field reporters during this time. So, yeah.
Yeah, so in the way that they opened up Buena Vista Street for people now, I believe that we had walked through those same like side gates to go into the park. And then they kind of just led us right into one of the studio stages. And we were in there for a good portion of the day, just listening to various Marvel and Disney Imagineers like talking about Avengers Campus and what the entire layout was going to be, the three different food places that they're going to have. I mean, it's really one main food eatery, the Pimtest Kitchen, and a lovely outdoor bar seating area, and then two different carts. So you have the Terran Treats and the Shawarma Palace that they like announced to us. And I think I was like the only person who understood the significance of the Shawarma Palace, or one of the very few, because I kind of like made a little noise. And you were sitting in a room with like all like international press and other people, and they were like, what is that? And I was like, the Avengers, like at the end of the Avengers movie.
That's awesome.
So after they gave us like the main presentation, we had a break. They brought us into a second room where everyone sat down. I still have this. They gave us a small bottle of Purell, which I did not know at the time would be something that was going to be very difficult to get. And I held on to that for a very long time.
And that's quite a keepsake. Yeah.
Because I think that was one of my concerns when I went in there that day. I was like, are they going to be giving us like Purell? Is there going to be hand sanitizer? Yep. But they gave us this so that we were trying food, and it was just to wash our hands like that way. They brought us out a lot of different foods to try out that will be available in the Pimtest Kitchen. We ate like pretzels. They brought out like some meatballs and pasta, chicken sandwich. I don't remember if they brought us out the panini or not, but I mean, it was all good. They brought us out some of the drinks, some of the alcoholic beverages that they're going to have in the park. And then they stopped at one point and they allowed us to see some of the merchandise and some of the pins that are going to be at the park. And they let us actually play with those little spider bots that they finally released.
Yeah, so, I'm very interested in those because we're owners of droids from Galaxy's Edge. So is it a similar type of interactive kind of little robot toy? Do you get to build them kind of and put together your own a little bit, correct?
Yes and no. Yeah. So you buy the actual spider bot and then you can buy other pieces to put on top of it.
Gotcha.
Right.
Okay.
So if you want it to be like a different character, I know that there were different little pieces that you could purchase to then like assemble and put on top of it so that it like recognizes that it's a different character. But I did get to, I played with it in March because they kind of like, they asked press, they're like, okay, who wants to try it? And you know, everyone kind of like hesitates at first. And I was like, I'll do it. I was like, I just want to like see how it is. I lost. I didn't care. I just, you know, I grabbed the little remote and it's basically like a little Rock'em Sock'em robot. Like that's how it felt. Like that you were trying to, I'm trying to remember exactly how it was because it was so long ago, but basically you just had to, I think that you had to like shoot into the other spider bot. And then when you had like three or so hits, when you took a few hits, the armor popped off of the other spider bot. And so you knew if you lost or not. And I lost.
About how big
are
they?
It was fun. Pretty small. They're smaller than the BB-8 droids that you can build, but like pretty sizable.
Okay.
Like, yeah, I don't have a model of it or anything on hand, but they're pretty light.
That's so cool. That sounds fun. So technically you almost need two.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Because the whole thing is that you want to have these little fights with other, with your friends. Basically, there were some fun Easter eggs on the bottom of the spider bots. I don't feel like a lot of people had noticed this, but on the bottom of like the boxes, there were like character names and stuff on some of them. And I think Harley Keener was on one of them, and I know like Cassie's name was mentioned as well. So I think that a lot of the sense that I got that day was that they were really trying to set up a Young Avengers sort of thing going on at the Spider-Man, what the Spider-Man attraction is going to be. It's called Web.
Yep.
Web Slingers, a Spider-Man adventure. And like that whole storyline seems like it's about just Peter Parker kind of hanging out with some of these younger people that we've met in the MCU. And they like have their own little area where they're working on their own on their own scientific like experiments, and something goes awry, and then that's
the ride. That sounds awesome. Now, did you get to see any of that? Like how much, so you did get to see Web Slingers.
Yeah. So, after we went through the presentation for a while, they took us out. I think that we got on a bus and they like, I don't know why, it wasn't like that far away or anything, but they took us on a little bus and then, we got off and we had to put on the hard hats. We gave our phones away and, we had to put on these, like, it was so nuts. Cause you want to take notes while you're walking around the area, you had to put on these like crazy gloves. So made it very tough to write. I remembered I just like had this notebook that they gave us and like this pen and I'm trying jot down things. What was very like bonkers experience because you had to like put on glasses and the hard hat and everything. I'm quite a small individual, so the hat was kind of falling in front of my face or whatever. But but we got to walk around the grounds a little bit. Wow. So as I said, like a lot of it, you saw the main structures.
Yeah.
But the ground was not done yet. There was rebar sticking out of the ground. We did stand inside the area that will be the PIM test kitchen.
Okay.
So the main restaurant. It was not finished. So we were standing there and they were showing us like samples of what the ground was going to look like inside the restaurant and all of that. And then we did walk inside the Spider-Man attraction. So they did walk us through, I think that you're going to go through two rooms before you get to the actual like queue. It's all part of the queue. So you'll walk through like two rooms and then you'll get to the actual ride. And I saw what the actual seat looks like. They had them like sitting there. They're pretty large. It reminded me of Toy Story Mania.
Okay. Honestly. Interesting.
And I'm trying to remember the way that the ride was described to me was a mixture of like Toy Story Mania and the Ratatouille ride.
Okay.
That is opening in Epcot. Yeah. Or that is it open yet? I haven't been
October 1st.
Okay, October. So
still a ways to go. So, it sounds like it's kind of that combination. And I think a lot, you know, Universal does a lot of these types of rides, even their Spider-Man adventure there, where you're moving through both digital pieces but actual set pieces. So it'll take you through that way. That sounds really cool.
Yeah, I've been told by, I feel like I can't say too much, but I know that they've been testing the ride very recently, and I have heard that some of the cast members have said that they have sore arms because it's just, you are just slinging webs.
Constantly. That's how I am after Toy Story Mania. So
yes,
that's interesting. Yeah. Okay.
But I know that it's supposed to, I think that the ride is supposed to scan your body. You wear 3D glasses on it. And as you mentioned, it's physical sets, practical effects, in a virtual set. And I think that it's supposed to, I know I have some notes here. Let me see. They have a gesture recognition system that they've
built. So you're not wearing anything additional?
Just the glasses.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so you have glasses. But they had said that they have a new interface that they invented for the ride so that it's 60 times a second. They're able to determine where a guest's head is and their shoulders and their elbows and their wrists. And at the time when they spoke to us in March 2020, they said that they had been prototyping it for more than 2 years.
Wow.
So I think that it sounds really, really cool. I just imagine that you're going to be doing this the entire time, right? Yes. And because what you're supposed to be doing is like, so the spider bots that you're able to purchase in Avengers Campus, they get loose.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to be like, helping to gather them and stuff. So
that is so cool.
yeah, I think it's going to be really fun. But yeah, the feeling that I had after listening to everyone and then seeing what the seat looks like, because I believe it does do a full rotation, just like the Toy Story Mania attraction, is that it's going to be pretty similar to that. And that's one of the rides that I love going on the most when I'm at Disney World.
Yeah. Well, it has a lot of replayability, you know, and of course, anything that you can score and you can compete, I think always has people wanting to ride it again and again. And that's where Mania just does such a great job with it. So that'll be very interesting to see that. And it's Spider-Man, like, you know, and Tom Holland's doing the pre-show, like, this is going to be amazing. I can't wait for that. Now, how in general, and I know, again, there was a lot of construction going on, but what is this, the size of this land potentially compare to with some of the other lands that we're very familiar with?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically just taking over the place of a Bugs Land, right? So it's really just that space that they're working with. Okay. I've been back to DCA a handful of times since November. And then I was most recently there in February, and I could tell that they were basically done more or less, I would say, with the Avengers Campus, since now we have an opening date in June.
Yep.
I would say it's basically extends from where the Guardians attraction is Breakout down to the opening of Cars Land.
Yep.
Because that's where they have it blocked off. I was able to walk along Buena Vista Street as far as they have it open. Well, as far as they had it opened up until the Touch of Disney event.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't been back for the Touch of Disney event. I was back one of the last days of February. And they basically will let you walk up until Cars Land. And so right before you reach Cars Land is basically right where one of the entrances to Avengers Campus is. It's like perpendicular.
Okay.
So it's going to spill right out into Cars Land. Like you basically will exit Avengers Campus, make a left, and then you see the giant sign for Cars Land. And then going down, when you first enter DCA, if you make that left and you're walking down like the Hollywood, you know, avenue, they had the very end of that blocked off. So, you know, if you go around that corner and then you make it to Guardians, that's basically like the start. So, yep. I mean, it's basically just that Bugs Land like area. I know that they had some more signage up that they had covered up for the Touch of Disney event, so that people, like, some Black Widow signage, some like Taskmaster symbols. I think that there is like a reference to Tony Stark. I'd seen some photos that are not out there yet that were like covered up for this event. But yeah, I think that there are going to be a lot of Easter eggs in this area.
Oh, I bet. Now, one of the things I think that for Galaxy's Edge, I know for me, and I've talked to a lot of other people, you know, there is a disconnect, I think, in Galaxy's Edge because they didn't do what Wizarding World did, which was put you inside of an existing Star Wars movie. You know, they said, we're going to create this new story. And I just don't know that it really connected and resonated with the Star Wars fans. I think it does a little bit better with the non-Star Wars fans because they don't know any better, and they just kind of think, well, this is cool. And of course, everything in Galaxy's Edge is true to size and true to life. You know, I mean, they weren't using the Force perspectives and some of those things to make things look larger than life. They actually are. With the Avengers and some of the iconic, you know, headquarters and things like that, you can't do Avengers true to size. Plus, a lot of the things throughout the Avengers and the MCU are based all over the world and the universe. So you have to build this, you know, they really couldn't probably put you easily in an MCU movie. So they had to create the Avengers Campus, which again, is going to have its own story. From what you've seen or heard, do you think it's going to feel cohesive? Is it going to have a little bit of that Galaxy's Edge disconnect where you're like, man, I would much rather be at the actual Stark Expo as opposed to an Avengers Campus that I'm not technically familiar with?
That's a good question, because I remember on that press day, a lot of us were asking these very specific questions of like, when does this take place? Does it take place after Avengers Endgame? Does it take place before? Because it seems like Iron Man's going to be around. Like, how does that happen? Like, because we know Tony Stark is dead. They seem very into, we kind of got an interesting answer about, well, we know that the multiverse exists. And I was like, whoa, okay. I think that they are aware that people, of how people are going to be interacting with the MCU. And I think that they purposefully have made this land so that it can evolve with the release of not only the upcoming films, Black Widow, Eternals, etc., but also the Disney Plus shows as they're releasing. And my understanding was that as there is a new show, so like, for instance, when Avengers Campus first opens, we were told that the first villain who will be inside Avengers Campus will be Taskmaster to go along with the Black Widow film. I imagine after Black Widow, they are going to adapt it to go along with whatever the next series or film is. And I say that because I know as, well, I say that because I know that that was what they had told us, where we had asked at the time last year before WandaVision came out, we were like, oh, could we see characters from WandaVision maybe pop up there? Could we see characters from the Eternals pop up? And they were like, always a possibility. You may also see things from Avengers Campus then appear in a future show or movie or something like that. And I was like, oh, well, that's very interesting. And that's where I, where the wheels were turning when I had mentioned seeing some Easter eggs and nods to Young Avengers. I was like, maybe that's what we're talking about there. Maybe it's other things. But I think that they are aware of trying to make it this interconnected world. They seem to be working closely with the people who are running the MCU as well. They're not making this as a separate thing. And maybe that makes it feel a little more interactive than Galaxy's Edge. I mean, I know that Galaxy's Edge, it's connected to like some of the books and they have stories and things like that, but you're right. It is separate from, I step into to Batu and I'm like, well, this isn't anything that I've seen in the other, you know, other than Kylo Ren coming up to me or something like that. But I feel like this is going to have another level of interconnectivity. And they're very aware. I think that they're going to be rotating things in and out. They've already been rotating some set pieces out of Buena Vista Street where they had a little pop-up for WandaVision.
Yeah, I saw that.
Take photos. I know that's, it was removed pretty recently, maybe in the past few days or something, but they had something for Falcon and Winter Soldier set up so you could take photos. I'm sure they're going to have something for Loki. But yeah, I think you're going to have a lot of heroes like walking around around that small area as well. So Spider-Man's going to be like hanging around. You're going to have Doctor Strange, I guess, teaching you in the ways of the mystic arts. The Dora Milaje will be there as well. So I think they're going to make the most of that space.
I'm so glad to hear that. And I believe it was on yesterday's virtual presentation that Josh D'Amaro mentioned overlays and projections. So it certainly sounds like what you're saying is that, you know, even if it was potentially only at nighttime, of course, with projections and all, that they could do some overlays to change out scenery. And, you know, I mean, MCU and what they've accomplished throughout 20 plus films and over a decade has been unbelievable. They're now doing it with Disney Plus. So I certainly have full trust that they'll be able to do it with a land. And that would be really cool if, you know, one of the things that I loved when I went to Wizarding World is I was not a big Harry Potter fan. I just never got into it. And my wife and girls loved it. And so I was like, well, if I'm gonna, if we're gonna be pass holders, then I should go ahead and start watching these movies. And we sat and watched about one every other night until we were through. And then when we went in there, I was like, I recognize that. And I know, and like, you know, you just feel so involved. And then it was kind of vice versa where we had already been to Wizarding World. So then when the movie I was watching, I was like, I remember that from Wizarding World. That would be such a cool thing as we move forward in the MCU to all of a sudden see things that we're familiar with in Avengers Campus and vice versa. That'll be such an interesting way, I think, to plug that in. So I'm definitely glad to hear that. The food, I know you got to try some of the food. I think Disney's really stepped up their game with quick service, you know, and they did that with Galaxy's Edge. I mean, I think Docking Bay 7 They started it back with Satali Canteen and Pandora, but Docking Bay 7 is outstanding. Does it seem to have that similar type of quality? And it sounds like it's much more inventive than your standard theme park fare, of course.
Yeah. Well, I know that they had done a partnership with Impossible Foods.
Yes.
Right? So you're definitely going to see some of that in Avengers Campus. I can't remember. I don't want to misspeak and say that one of the things that I tried wasn't, because I can't remember now. It was so long ago. But I know
think
that
it might have been
have
the meatball.
Because, yeah, that's what I wanted to guess.
And I did see that when I was reading up on Disney's park blog. I'm 99% sure they said it was an Impossible Meatball, which are very, very good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. So I just said check this. Yeah. Plant-based meatball. Yeah.
Perfect.
I had that. Let me tell you, it tasted like a real meatball. I could not tell the difference. I think that the most impressive thing that they had announced back in March when I was there was, do you remember in Thor, when you're watching Thor Ragnarok, I believe it was, when Doctor Strange refills
his beer.
The bottom.
Yes.
Yeah. So they're going to have that. They're going to be able to, they made a reverse tapping system so that if you order beer, it's going to fill from the bottom up.
That's genius. Like, I mean, that's an Easter egg that I feel like only Marvel and Disney can put into a land like this. That's that's so cool. Oh, that makes me want to go just for that.
Right. I mean, I as soon as they mentioned that, I was like, people are going to be taking videos of that nonstop. They're going to be like, wait, can you like slow down?
So yep.
Like,
gotta do it
get
for
the
Instagram.
Video of that just exactly. So I think that's going to be one of the coolest parts of Avengers Campus, like seeing that. And then I know that they are doing one of the other Easter eggs that they had was there's always some giant souvenir, either popcorn or a drink bottle, and they're gonna have like a giant the Pingo Doce soda.
Okay.
Which was the when Bruce Banner was in Rio de Janeiro, he had worked at a soda company.
That's right. That was in the original Incredible Hulk before it moved to Mark Ruffalo. That's right.
Yeah. So
cool.
They're like, they're bringing that soda. You'll be able to drink. We had tried that, you know, tasted like soda. It was like good. I don't drink a lot of soda, but they also were like, oh yeah, if you want to buy, like, we're going to have this giant Pingo Doce, like soda can that will just be a souvenir cup.
Yep. How cool.
Yeah.
Well, anything else that you wanted to share maybe that we hadn't got an opportunity to talk about?
I'm trying to think. So one of the other carts that they'll have is the Terran Treats.
Yeah.
One. And I thought that was cool just because like they'll have these basically churros. But I thought that it was really cool that they showed us that they were going to have like six different colors. And I was like, oh, is that like the Infinity Stones? And they're like, yeah. So I was like, oh, that's really clever. So like there are a lot of little nods where, you know, most people are just going to go like, oh, it's just like, you know, it's a churro.
Right.
But each one is supposed to have a different flavor. So it just seems like there are a lot of like nice little touches where if you are a Marvel fan, you're going to appreciate it a lot more because you're going to feel very invested in that world. And Jeremy, you know, you were asking about, you know, Galaxy's Edge and how, you know, you step in and you're like, oh, well, I thought I was going to step into maybe something that I was really familiar with. And I felt that way just hearing about all these things
they
had created. It's kind of like the payoff of watching Avengers Endgame.
Yeah.
Right, if you watched all the other films right beforehand, you would be like, oh yeah, I recognize that line, I recognize, you know, that little Easter egg. It seems like that same care was put into this world so that when you're stepping in, if you're like, oh my gosh, they really did a shawarma palace cart, like,
that's so cool.
Yeah, I understand what that is. And so I think that there's going to be a lot of those little moments inside of this world, and I think that they're going to continue to evolving this land to continue to inject it with things from upcoming films and whatnot, so that it's always going to feel fresh and then it's going to feel, you know, present.
That's great. And then all of us here and on the East Coast can just be jealous for probably the rest of eternity because we've got to travel all the way out there to see this because of our little Universal Walt Disney World contract going on here. I think this is something, what I'm really excited to see, and it was my only other thing I didn't love about Galaxy's Edge, is that they built mirrored lands on each coast. You know, I was never going to be in a rush to go see Galaxy's Edge out west.
Have you
but
been?
This I want to. No, I have not.
Okay, so I've been to both of them.
Yeah,
and I felt like it was a little more magical walking into Galaxy's Edge in Disneyland, and I'll say that because of the way that you're entering. And you're entering underneath, you have, you know, the Mickey Mouse, you have the train going around the park. So they had to like build it so that it feels like you're walking underneath and through like these little caves in both of the entrances. So I felt like it just has more of a, I don't know, a magical like feel. And I entered through the one entrance that you have down in Hollywood Studios, like, it has like sort of a cavernous feel, but there's just something about like a train going over, you know, like, and having to build, you know, these little, basically they feel like little mountains that you had to like go and carve out, and then you're walking through them. There's just something that feels a little more mythical about walking into that area, because it feels like you're going into a secluded, secret space. And I feel like it's not as secluded in Hollywood Studios.
For sure.
I just doesn't feel like as much of like a hidden little secret. And
that makes complete sense. Yeah.
So,
well, we're hoping to get to Disneyland. Yeah. We're hoping to get there, and when they'll allow us, when they'll invite Floridians over, which we'll see.
who knows when that will be, because it's only going to be California residents and pretty limited when it first opens. So I guess that they're probably going to just see how that goes and just expand from there.
It's a good testing point. You know, we're seeing here park reservations all the way through June are being, you know, eaten up. And I mean, as a pass holder, and we're, you know, platinum pass holders over here, it's not that we can just go any day we want. You know, and so I am hoping that over there it'll be a way to shift in kind of the locals and the California residents, so that when they are able to open up outside, you know, again, maybe it won't be as crazy, or the park reservations won't go as quick. I guess we'll just see. But we definitely hope to be out there and get to see it all. So,
yeah, I'm a little jealous of two of my friends actually out in California. They are California residents. And right before the pandemic happened, we had all happened to go to Disneyland at the end of February to try to get on Rise of the Resistance.
Yeah.
We were able to, which was, I didn't realize that was such a thing in itself. I didn't realize that you needed to get to the park super early to connect all of your tickets and then hit a button. And then like you either got a yes or you got a no, which I got to say, you know, we were talking earlier about moments that you always remember, like moments that like really excite you or thrill you. And that was one of the moments where like at 8 a.m. everyone was pushing, you know, a button on their phone to try to get a reservation for Rise. And all of a sudden hearing the cheers behind you, like I turned around and I just like filmed it really quick. And I was like, this is like, I had no idea that this happens every single morning. But I had gone with a few friends, and I was an AP holder. My friend was an AP holder, and our two other friends had happened to buy multi-day passes. They only used one of their multi-day passes, and then the parks closed. So they still have two more passes to go. And I think that they are allowed to, if they want to,
purchase
tickets for opening day, but they're not the sort of people who would go on opening day. Right. So I thought that was really, really funny. And they were like, who knew that over a year ago, we would wind up being in the best position to go back to Disneyland on opening day. And we have no interest in going.
That's crazy.
On that day. Yeah.
Well, when you were talking about, you know, being out there on March 6th, we were in Disney World on March 4th, that Wednesday, because it was the opening of Mickey and Minnie's. And I even remember then there was just this little, I think they just started to put out more sanitizing stations. They'd started to put out the hand wash stations, but in nobody's mind did we think, you know, our trip just 3 weeks later wasn't going to happen. And at that point, I remember it almost even being a little bit like a joke, where every moment you're just like, oh, you just touched that, quick sanitize. And nobody knew what really was coming. So it's interesting that, yeah, we were here experiencing that exact same thing on the East Coast, and you were on shore over at the West Coast getting the visit. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I had started. I remember when I went to the park that day, I had like some people at the office were like, you should see like if they're starting to like prep and like do stuff. I was like, well, I'm there for a whole different thing. But I did notice that I can't remember if they were starting to like put up signs then, but I do remember that there was more sanitizer as well. So like, you know, they had an awareness, but
for sure.
It was so weird being there 1 week and then literally the next Friday, it was like, this is the last day.
Yeah. Like, turn that close sign around. Phew. Insane. Yeah. Well, I appreciate your time so much. This has been so informative. I know our listeners are going to love all this information. You and I had gotten a chance to chat prior to me hitting record, and we would love to have you back on, you know, for a full episode about your journey and some of the things you've experienced and favorite moments. So we'll certainly reach out to you and hopefully schedule something like that soon, because you're an absolute delight to talk to. So really appreciate your time and your knowledge and coming on today.
Oh, thanks so much, Jeremy. I had such a pleasure speaking with you. And I could talk about my park experiences, whether it was Six Flags or Disney World, Disneyland or Universal, like for hours on end. Definitely had some fun adventures over the years.
I bet. Well, we'll make sure we make that happen in the near future.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Scott Gustin is a news executive producer at Nexstar who covers real news as a day job in theme parks when time allows. Scott was on the virtual presentation webinar presented by Josh D'Amaro yesterday to hear the announcement of when Avengers Campus would be opening, as well as having a chance to see the real lightsaber that broke Instagram. You can follow Scott on Twitter at Scott Gustin. That's ScottGustin. I was so thankful Scott joined me to talk more about it. Scott, thank you so much for taking the time to join me today. There's been a lot of amazing theme park news this week. I feel like it was really kicked off with the announcement of VelociCoaster opening in Universal Orlando on June 10th. And then I think Disney kind of maybe took the spotlight a little bit yesterday with the announcement of Avengers Campus opening on June 4th with this special virtual presentation, you know, to media from Josh D'Amaro and some other big names like Kevin Feige and all. I'd love to just get a little bit more information that you're able to share kind of about, you know, your biggest takeaways from the presentation and what we can really look forward to with the Avengers Campus and some other things that kind of sprouted up yesterday.
Yeah, I was surprised by the date. It was earlier than I was expecting. I think most people were expecting. The curveball with that date is really the reopening plan for Disneyland, with people, you know, only in-state guests is the current restriction. Yeah. We'll see if that's still happening when June 4th rolls around. But you know, I like to speculate, but then I also hate to, but it almost makes me wonder if Disneyland is not thinking that that restriction could be lifted by then.
Sure.
So I was surprised, wasn't surprised we got a date, but I was surprised by the date. I know that it was not the only date that was being seriously considered. And so I would assume that something push Disneyland to decide to open earlier rather than waiting.
Of course.
Which I think we're all completely okay with. I think it's good. You know, there were some parts of the media, the virtual kind of, it was basically a webinar. I mean, it really was it was all pre-recorded.
Okay.
You know, all super crisp, amazing quality video that was heavily edited and looked really good. But there were parts of that presentation yesterday that were removed from what was shown to the media yesterday.
Okay, I got you.
And there was a speaker that ended up not appearing. So I don't know if it's possible with an earlier opening date that they pulled back on announcing some of the things that possibly won't be ready for June 4th. It might maybe arrive later in the summer.
Okay.
And there were a couple hints about that, I think, in the parks blog post yesterday.
Yeah.
But you know, it was an interesting webinar that was very slow in the middle, and got really, really interesting at the very end, almost in true Marvel Kevin Feige style, where they hit you with a post-credits scene that kind of changes everything that you just experienced or watched or whatever the case is.
Yeah.
And drop the lightsaber on everyone. So,
and it's so funny because it's, you know, you almost get the announcement of Avengers Campus opening completely get overshadowed by the end of it, you know, because I'm following along with folks like you on Twitter and you know, different media on Instagram. And then when that came out, I mean, I think it literally almost broke Instagram yesterday that this happened. What? So it's actually really interesting that this was all pre-recorded. I had thought that this was more of a live type presentation. So that's interesting to hear. Was this from several locations? Was this inside Avengers Campus that they were showing this from?
Yeah, I think the first shot of Josh was, if I remember correctly, had a background of Avengers Campus. I'm not sure where he was standing in the park. It looked like maybe he was standing in front of the land, and then the Quinjet and Guardians Tower was over his shoulder. And then there was an extended portion of, you know, a conversation between Kevin Feige and Josh DeMauro inside of Avengers Campus. There wasn't a whole lot of newsworthy content coming out of that conversation. It was really just a conversation.
Yeah.
Very scripted talking points, as everyone should expect. And then it kind of ended. It seemed to end. You know, full disclosure, I was also monitoring a work call at the same time that this was happening, and when it seemed to kind of be wrapping up, I had shifted my attention to some other things that I was doing. And then he started talking, Josh DeMauro started talking again, and what I thought was a wrap up, and he started talking about Disney Genie, and that kind of got my attention. I was like, okay, well, they're talking about Genie, that's good, that means it still exists.
Yep.
There was some thought that maybe it didn't, or that it had been permanently, you know, kind of set aside. With him mentioning that tomorrow, that definitely means that it is still being developed.
Yeah.
So we start talking about that, standing in Galaxy's Edge when he was talking about this. And it was definitely a tag on the presentation that probably was shot in a way that it could have just been taken out and saved for another day. Because it was a shift in location. And it really was there at the end when Josh was actually wrapping up the presentation when he brought up the lightsaber. And I was not looking at the screen when he first started to take, from what I've read, because I did not see this part. I was not looking at the screen, but he took it out of a case. I didn't see that. But then I looked up, saw him, you know, extend the lightsaber. And then he said, you know, it's real. Wow. He said that. And then it just cut away.
Oh, wow.
And then they went to a shot of the a baby Groot animatronic.
Yeah.
Which I saw a lot more of that than I saw of the lightsaber. But my brain was not ready to absorb anything because I was questioning if I had just, you know, if I just saw what I thought I just saw.
Right.
So yeah, it was kind of I hate to say strange. It was a very smart teaser on Disney's part to put that at the end. I would, you know, I, of course it leaves everyone wanting more.
Yeah.
I'm surprised, at least at this point, I haven't seen anyone, you know, breaking rules and leaking a photo or a video of it. But, you know, I did not record it. I don't have a photo of it. It happened so fast. That's probably why anyone that would have thought, you know, okay, this is the time I'm going to break this embargo rule and take a photo of my screen.
Yeah.
Probably because it happened so quick, no one could even do it. But you know, Disney's going to show it to us in a much probably better presentation of the lightsaber.
Of course.
Pretty soon, I think.
Yeah. Now, so when they do release this type of information, you know, if a presentation like this, will they ever make any of this portion public, or is this usually stay media only and they'll redo something completely different? And that's what we'll see as regular consumers then.
Yeah. The presentation that they showed yesterday won't release that.
Okay.
Just because it was really done in that moment. Like, yeah. It was done for the moment. It was done for yesterday for that specific presentation. You know, I feel sure that there will be a similar moment. It might be with Josh. It might be with someone else.
Yeah.
That, you know, for everyone to enjoy, they showcase this new lightsaber. But the actual video that they aired during the press event yesterday, I don't think that they'll use that again.
Right. And I mean, from what you were able to see quickly and what everybody seems they saw was that this was an actual, in some form, lightsaber. This isn't the ones you currently, you know, build that have the, you know, the long blade that just lights up. I mean, it sounds like this thing literally came out of the hilt that he took out of this box in some fashion. And there's no chance that this is any sort of potential maybe CGI at the moment, and it's something they're still working on, or this looked like a working lightsaber.
It is a working lightsaber. I don't think it will kill anyone, you know, in that,
that
way. But it is a functional, film realistic, more than film realistic, I guess, lightsaber. Wow. that acts like you would expect lightsaber to act. No, it was not, there were no visual tricks. This is what I was trying to figure out after we saw it, because it wasn't presented in any way as even saying, here's this thing that we've created. It was just like, it was like a humble brag,
yeah,
by Josh, you know, like, look what they're letting me hold today.
Wow.
And you know, Disney this was shot in like 4K. This thing was presented. It was beautiful. So it would have been very easy for them to like have digitally added something. And so that was my first question to Disney, was like, was what I saw real?
Yeah.
Or was this, you know, something for the presentation? Because the last thing I would want to do is create hype for something and Disney to come out and say like, no, it was just a digital trick, you
right.
know, as an idiot. So I confirmed that what we saw was real.
Wow.
And what remains to be seen is what exactly it is that we saw. Is it, you know, is it something that's going to show up in the hotel? I don't know. It could be, but someone who claims to know described it as, said to think of the lightsaber that we saw as like an animatronic, and it being a showpiece for a show or something that you're going to see someone else use, and not possibly not something that the guest is using.
I got you. Okay.
I also had someone else tell me this is absolutely what's going to be in the hotel. So I don't know if anyone really knows for sure, but part of me thinks it's a little far-fetched to imagine what they showed us yesterday in the hands of a 10-year-old staying at in the Star Cruiser Hotel when they go on these lightsaber missions that have been, you know, mentioned, and we know those things are happening,
right?
Which I think is probably going to be more of a VR experience. This is very much like, you know, Josh was holding probably the only version of this thing that exists.
Yeah.
And that's what makes me think it could be more of a, you know, like a thing that you might see in a show, someone holding up on a stage or something like that.
Yeah. But and that makes a lot of sense. No, that's an interesting perspective that I hadn't really seen yet, just reading through things yesterday. Speaking of animatronics, I know we had kind of this Groot animatronic come up. Did that appear just to be in typical kind of Marvel Disney humor fashion to close it out? Or does that appear to be something that's going to be available in Avengers Campus? I know we had the little, you know, we had the baby Groot and the Star-Lord meet and greet at Hollywood Studios a couple years ago. And that was the little, you know, desktop cute animatronic baby Groot. Was this something like that or maybe something beyond?
No. So this shot, this shot had a disclaimer over the video that was not over the video when Josh was showing the lightsaber, but it said at the bottom, you know, Disney Imagineering Research and Development playtest, I think, or something like that, something similar. And it was a shot of one of the development studios at Imagineering, you know, a couple desks and two Imagineers kind of playtesting with this walk around mini baby Groot. He was probably, I don't know, 2 feet tall, and he was walking kind of across the middle of the room where they were standing. And, you know, for comparison, I would say it's similar to like the R2-D2 roam around character that you will see.
Yeah.
Rarely, you know, I think what we were hoping to see more in Galaxy's Edge, but that type of character and experience is what it was, and not the desktop small baby Groot. It was a 2 foot version of, I guess, what you would describe as like a real life expectation of that baby Groot that can walk.
Yeah.
Not the one that was, but he was in like a pot, right? A plant pot or something.
Yeah. And basically just moving like torso and arms and head and all were pretty much the only thing moving. Did they share anything else about some of the characters that we're going to see walking around at Avengers Campus? Do you have any sense of whether they'll be more of a traditional meet and greet, or will they be a little more organic the way that they've done characters in Galaxy's Edge?
I don't remember them discussing anything about that. I think there will be some traditional opportunities. Maybe once we get back to what we all hope is normal.
Right.
I think there might be some non-traditional meet and greet opportunities there too.
Okay.
And,
awesome.
You know, I think they're holding back a lot of the blue sky stuff that they have been working on for a while. You know, what's interesting is that Avengers Campus, there was a group of media outlets that were given a preview of Avengers Campus like a year ago.
Yeah, I'm actually talking to someone at noon about it.
Yeah, and so like a lot of this has been done for a while.
Yeah.
And it could have, you know, I'm not sure. I honestly don't remember what the planned opening date was for Avengers Campus. I don't know if it was June of last year or what the actual original target date was.
Right.
But if you think about it, they've had a lot of time to like do what Disney tends to do, and that's get a place open and then start with the plussing. Mm-hmm. And they've had this kind of unique 9-month closure time to do some plussing for Avengers Campus. Things that maybe a year ago they were discussing around a table. Now it's kind of like, all right, are we ready to go with this next like step in terms of the offering we're going to have in Avengers Campus?
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't have any insight. I don't have any insider info on the character part. I just have, if you read the Parks blog post yesterday, they specifically mentioned Imagineering and having things to share, you know, going forward about that. And my gut tells me that there are things involving, you know, maybe attractions, maybe shows or shops or characters I think in one of the articles yesterday, Josh DeMaro specifically said, talked about like projections on shops, attractions, like overlay projections, things that can change each time you come to the park. I think we're going to start hearing more about how they plan to accomplish that in a vendor's campus, because you have a lot of things that could be very different every time you go.
And I would
be interested to see if we start to see Disney figuring out how to use technology to make either a show or I don't know, a ride, but some part of that land different every time you see it.
Yeah.
And I think there's some pretty cool stuff that they're holding back for whatever reason. Maybe they just want to hold it back. Maybe it's not quite ready. That they hinted at in that Parks blog post that had me pretty excited.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I think we're all so excited. I mean, I'm 2 hours from Disney World. That's our home. So we certainly are always jealous, down here of what California is able to do with Marvel, especially with this Avengers campus. I'll be very interested to see, as you mentioned, you know, what it looks like when they're able to open outside of California residents, in the hopes that, you know, we can all go visit at some point. But I really, really appreciate your time and sharing this, and appreciate, you know, everything you do online and bring real news. You don't bring the rumors and the hearsay and stuff, you know. You're a very trusted source, and I know Disney fans appreciate that very much. So thank you for all the work you do and keeping us all informed.
Hey, I appreciate that. I enjoy the rumors. I like hearing them and reading them, but I try to run things through a few filters before sharing them out, just because there's plenty of people sharing the rumors.
Yes.
I like to hear them. I like to read them. Yeah. But I try to be, I try to get as much confirmation as I can, because I'm never going to be the first person you're going to hear a rumor from, but I hope that I can try to either tell you not to worry about it, or there's something to that rumor.
Right.
is what I'm trying to do.
Yeah. Sorry. Well, I know, I can tell you, we all definitely appreciate it. So thank you, Scott, so much again for your time.
Yeah, you bet.